by the set of the table, we will be observing the Lord's Supper today. And since we're observing the Lord's Supper, my message will have to do with the Passover lamb. If there were a title given to this message, it would be the blood that covers, or the blood of Christ covers, or we may title it the Passover lamb. Exodus chapter 11 describes the last, the 10th judgment of God that was brought on Pharaoh and the land of Egypt. And that was the judgment on the firstborn. When the death angel would pass over and the firstborn in each house, the firstborn of each animal would die unless there was the blood of a sacrificed lamb that was sprinkled on each doorpost and the lintel. In Exodus chapter 12 is where we're going to look. Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 to 14, we have a description of the Passover lamb. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to eating shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, Your lamb shall be without a blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Now I want you to notice in verse 3, it speaks in the middle of the verse of a lamb. And then in the beginning of verse 4, it speaks of the lamb. And then in verse 5, it identifies it as your lamb and makes it very personal. And ye shall keep it, verse 6, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And it goes on, and then in verse 11, And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes in your feet, and your staff in your hand. And the reason for that is because he was going to rapidly deliver them from the land of Egypt, and they had to be prepared to travel. And then here's what we're wanting in verse 11, the end of it. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And then verse 13, And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague, the death plague, killing the firstborn in every family, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, in the same chapter, verse 29, And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all of the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. I want you to notice, please, that this death plague was avoided by the blood that was applied from the Passover lamb. The death angel did Passover the houses that had the blood sprinkled on the side post and the top post. Jesus Christ is our blood sacrifice. Jesus Christ is identified as our Passover lamb. He is our sacrifice, the lamb slain. It is in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that says, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." You can't get any clearer than that.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that which was done in the Old Testament when the Israelites were in the land of Egypt. John the Baptist, when he was baptizing in the Jordan River outside of Jerusalem in chapter 1 and verse 35, he, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God."
Amen.
Jesus is the Lamb of God. But he is not only our sacrifice lamb. The Bible makes it very clear that he is our substitution. You see, the Old Testament lamb died so that the people in the homes on which the doorpost and top post was sprinkled, and do you notice it was the doorposts and the top post. It was a complete covering of that house. He didn't just say, "Splash it on the door." He said, "Put it on the side posts and the top post." And the death angel passed over. Why? And through that blood that was sprinkled and that lamb that was slain, that lamb was their substitution. You see, there had to be one that died. It was part of the judgment. Okay, and the Bible tells us that the death angel passed over, and he was, if you please, able to pass over, because now there was someone, something, let me say, that died in the place of the firstborn. And Christ is our Passover, and we will not be separated from God in eternity. We will not die a spiritual death because Jesus is our substitution. Christ accomplished our debt payment. Christ is our substitute. The price for sin must be paid. It will be paid. For the wages of sin is death. It will be paid. There's no exception. When one stands before God at judgment, if their life is not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, then they'll be separated from God for all of eternity in a place called hell. The Old Testament Jews had to respond to God's instructions through Moses. The Old Testament Jews had to take a lamb. They could not think about a lamb. They could not wish they had a lamb. They could not say, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a bird."
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Okay? They could not say, "Well, I'm going to get a cat."
That's right. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Sorry. I'm just trying to think of other animals. They could not say that they had to take just anything. God specified a lamb.
That's right, amen.
And in order for us to be saved, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through what? Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Not through baptism, not through church membership, not through good living, but through Jesus Christ our Lord. They had to take a lamb and slay it. You can't just think about Jesus Christ. You can't just wish about Jesus Christ. You can't just hope that when you die, everything's going to be okay because all that you knew about Jesus. No, those Jews that were going to be spared by the death angel, they had to take the lamb. And if you're going to be spared at the time of judgment, you are going to have to take Jesus Christ.
Amen.
John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God. See, you have to take Christ. You say, what are you taking? You take him in your life. You take him in your life. Now we say, take him in your heart. If you understand heart to represent the whole of your life, that's okay. But if heart is just a warm, fuzzy feeling, you need him in your life. And if you don't take him in your life, when you stand before God in judgment, you say, well, I got a long time. Yeah, so that's what the guy, last guy who died in a car accident thought.
Right. Yes, sir, brother.
He thought he had a long time. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should what? Live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. He bore our sins. He is our sacrifice. He is our substitution. And what is essential is our submission. The sprinkled blood of that Passover lamb spoke of faith and obedience.
Yes.
Faith in that they had to take action on what God said and commanded through his servant Moses. What is faith but trusting what God says, depending on what God says, and proving that trust by what a person does? Talk is cheap.
Yes, sir.
1 John chapter 5, verse 10 to 13 tells us that we need to believe the record. And the Bible makes it very clear, he that hath the Son hath life.
Amen.
And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
Yes, sir.
But the wrath of God,
that's what it says,
will abide.
Yep.
Now you listen to me clear. If you're sitting here today and you do not have the Son, you do not have life.
That's right.
And when that death angel of judgment comes, where will you be? There's only one place. Separation. What do I need to do? You need to take Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you need to make a conscious choice on your part. You say, I've done that before and I still don't know. Well, do it again. My mother was about 42, 43 years of age when I sat across a table from her at the radio station where we had a family radio program. And I had gotten saved and I was witnessing to her. And she said, well, I think I'm saved. And she said, you know, Pop, that would have been her father. And he was a godly man. She said, you know, Pop, and I grew up in his home. But I said, do you know Jesus Christ? And she said, well, I think so. She said, I prayed about it. And I said, but do you know he lives in you? No, I don't. I told her, I said, well, why don't you do that? Why don't you? And as it turns out, she did it at night at home in her bedroom. But here's what she said. She said, but I did it before. What if God knows I don't need to again? And I said, Mom, God will straighten it out.
That's right.
From your side, if you're not saved, he'll know it's the first time.
That's right.
If from your side you think it's the third or fourth time, doesn't matter. God knows what is.
That's right.
And God will know what your heart is now. And I was glad to hear her tell me that she did that. And was it the first time or the third time or whatever time? I don't know. But from then on, she knew. Now, had she not done it again, she'd have not been saved. God knows, God will straighten out how often it is. But he that hath the Son hath life. Then obedience is living out the faith in one's heart. Like you say, well, how do I know if it's real? You'll live it out.
Yeah, right.
There'll be a change in your life.
Yes, sir. Right.
Now, listen, when a child grows up in a Christian home, the lifestyle of that home is already godly. And the lifestyle of those parents keeps the child from participating in a lot of the outward things of the world. And so the evidence, you get somebody at 20 years of age that gets saved, and they were drinking and smoking and going to all kinds of wrong movies. Now they get saved, the change becomes really obvious, and we can really observe it, because they quit drinking, they quit smoking, they quit doing drugs, they quit buying lottery. It's really easy to see the change in them. But somebody who grew up in a Christian home, the outward lifestyle isn't what you're looking at. Now you're looking at, they used to be selfish, now they're not.
Amen.
They used to not share things, now they do. They used to have a rebellious attitude about certain things, and now they don't. See, you're looking for things that come, that are generated within, and that's important for everybody. Whether you're raised in a Christian home, or whether you're raised, a guy who gets saved when he's 20 and he quits all of those things, he still has a heart that has to be dealt with. He still has to be kind one to another. Okay? He still has to have a loving spirit. Okay? It isn't enough. And we, as a church, we too many times we get satisfied with the fact that he quit smoking, he quit chewing, and he quit cussing, and we think, oh boy, he's great. He still has to deal with those inner things.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Because it's those inner things that'll take him down. And so it's not the lifestyle. It's the heart.
Yes.
It's the heart. And that's the obedience. And that was the case with the Jews. They had to obey. It wasn't enough just to take, okay, I got a lamb now, and I'm going to kill it. I got the lamb and I killed it. But if they don't obey and sprinkle it on the doorposts. Okay, so you can take Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you've got to obey.
Yes, sir.
You've got to obey. I wonder if any of them Jews had neighbors that were Egyptians and mocked them and laughed at them for what they were doing with this lamb and putting it on. What are you putting that on your doorpost for? Mm-hmm. You're never going to get that off. It's going to stain it. Do you have anybody that always asks you why you do what you do, why you live the way you live? Anybody who mocks you for the things that you do? You do them anyway. Why? Because it's right to do right.
That's right.
Our salvation is by Jesus' work on the cross, but God commendeth his love toward us. How? How did God commend? How did God show? How did God demonstrate his love toward us? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
If you're waiting for some kind of change to come in your life, if you're waiting for some kind of a sensation or some kind of an awareness or some kind of a feeling, if you're waiting for whatever, it isn't going to make a difference. What you need is Jesus Christ. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now time won't permit, and I knew it wouldn't, but in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 1 to 10, gives us a description of the old covenant, the old agreement that God made using blood animals, blood from animals that were offered by the priest. And that in verse 1 to 10, a description of the old covenant. Then verse 11 to 15 is the new covenant, the new agreement that God had. And that required the blood of a spotless lamb, which was Jesus Christ. Now in the Old Testament, it had to be a spotless lamb. Guy couldn't go and say, well, let me take that lamb. It's got a broken leg anyway. No, it had to be, it had to be perfect. And so Jesus Christ was the spotless lamb. But he was not only the spotless lamb. In the new covenant, the new agreement, he was the sinless priest. You see, he did not have to make atonement for his sin before he could make atonement for the sins of the people of the Jews. He, Jesus Christ, was sinless.
Amen.
And he, when he died on the cross, he paid the price for our sin like no one could. And then in Hebrews chapter 9, if you read verse 16 to 22, it talks about blood and how blood is necessary for redemption. Blood is necessary for forgiveness. You cannot do it without the shedding of blood. And it wasn't just any blood. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't the fact that he scratched himself in a thorn bush and so he bled. There we've got the blood of Jesus. No, it had to be the blood of Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary, because that alone is the fulfillment of the prophecy.
That's right.
And how God would do it. Listen, there's way too many things in the life of Jesus that were prophesied by the Old Testament prophets a thousand or so years before Jesus, that you cannot say, well, isn't that a coincidence? And there's too many coincidences for it to be a coincidence.
That's right.
It was the fulfillment of what God said would happen.
Yes,
and so in verse 16 to 22, you have the talk about the blood. And by goodness, it's the blood that Christ made. Now, verse 23 to 26. There's two more verses to the end of the chapter. But 23 to 26 tells us that Christ offered his blood once for all. You see, the situation that you have was that Old Testament priest, they would bring sacrifices regularly. And of course, on the Day of Atonement, he went in once. That was once a year. But there were other weekly sacrifices that were made. But they were made over and over again. But Jesus Christ shed his blood only once.
That's right.
He only had to shed it once, because he was the only perfect sacrifice.
Right.
And you read that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23 to 26. Christ offered his blood once for all people. You're included. You're covered. But you need to get under the blood. The doorposts, the lintel, they had to be under it. And you need to be under the blood of Jesus. That happens when you trust him as your Savior. When you, he that hath the Son hath life, when you take him, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And that's what puts you under the blood. I know I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
Not because of how good I am, because I know I'm not good. But because I'm under the blood.
Amen.
The price has been paid for my sin.
Amen.
It's been paid for your sin too,
yes.
But you need to accept it. You need to take it. Today when we take the Lord's Supper, we are remembering what Jesus Christ did on the cross to pay the price for our sins. I'm going to have Pastor come up and lead us as our pastor in the Lord's Supper. Then we'll sing our closing song, When I See the Blood.
Amen.